This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Big changes coming to North Carolina's Commerce Department, and not everybody thinks it's a good idea. North Carolina Partnership for Prosperity was an idea endorsed by Governor Pat McCrory. It's a public-private nonprofit that would be responsible for recruiting businesses to this state. Many Commerce Department employees would be shifted to the nonprofit. Advocates say this semi-privatized corporation is going to do a better job creating business opportunities. But critics say that similar projects around the country have failed to live up to their promises. Joining us now in the studio is Rob Christensen, a political reporter for the News and Observer. Welcome back, Rob. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here, Frank.
Tell us about this partnership.
Well, this was the idea of Governor Pat McCrory. These private public-private partnerships are really the hot public policy idea of the last decade of Republican governors all across the country. They were tried down in Florida by Governor Jeb Bush and by Governor John Kasich of Ohio and so forth. And the idea is that if you can move this from the public sphere to the private sphere, that you can pay these, that you can be more efficient, you can be more nimble, you can pay these top recruiters more money, and you can work better. Now, most surveys have shown that North Carolina does pretty well by industrial recruiting. The national survey showed North Carolina usually tends up in the top 10, usually often in the top 5 in terms of industrial recruitment. But as we all know, North Carolina's got some problems. It's got a high unemployment rate. We've lost a tremendous amount of our industrial base and manufacturing base, and North Carolina is a very manufacturing heavy state. We've lost out with some of the big automobile plants that have come down south in recent decades, you know, that have gone to places like Tennessee and Kentucky and Alabama and South Carolina. And so there's a feeling by the McCrory administration that we ought to try this. Now, there was a report that was fairly scathing, actually, that was done by a Washington group that came out this last week, called the Good Jobs First. It was the only name of the organization, Washington. And it said that these public-private partnerships really haven't worked very well, and that essentially the number of problems they pointed out, they were pretty opaque. The public didn't get to see a lot of what was going on. That there was a lot of insider stuff going on, where these businessmen that sit on this committee gave these incentives and stuff to their buddies. That there were incredible salaries. That some of these business trips they took down in Florida. I think they took 20 members of their staff to Paris for a week. That sort of thing. There was, I think, some allegations of bribery in China, that sort of thing. So there have been lots of controversy, pumped up numbers about how many jobs actually were produced here. In Indiana right now, for example, there's an electronic billboard up in Times Square on Indiana, which flashes up for 15 seconds twice an hour saying, you know, come to Indiana or whatever. And, you know, is that really a good mostly it's tourists in Times Square, as you know, and not CEOs. And is that really a good use of the money? So the report says this is really not a really good idea. Now, obviously, not everyone agrees with that, but there are some real questions about whether that's a good idea and whether it really works.
Well, let's talk about where the money comes from. You said that we can pay these recruiters a lot more in this public-private partnership. Where does that money come from then?
Well, it comes from both the public and the private, and how much of it comes from private depends on whether these corporations, these public-private corporations, can raise money from businesses. Now, part of it is it's taxpayer money. It gets right. That's now being paid to the Commerce Department. It gets transferred over to this public-private corporation, as do some of these public employees. But some of it, they have to go out and raise money from the Duke Energies and from these other big corporations. And the question is how successful will they be, and how much money they get from the private sector depends on how well these corporations are to cough up the money.
Well, why would they do that? They're going to cough up money to recruit competition.
Well, that's been a problem in some states. Now, it's obvious why some companies will want to do that. So Duke Energy is a good example. More customers come to the state, corporations, manufacturing plants, the better it is, the more electricity they sell, right? So that's an obvious one. But it's not obvious why, for example, a corporation in Charlotte would want to help spend money to recruit a company to Eastern North Carolina. Why? So some of it is traditionally is that they've been willing to put up money for these regional partnerships so that Charlotte may want to put up money to help recruit another company to come to Charlotte, but not necessarily to come to Eastern North Carolina. So in some of these states, they've had a hard time coming up with raising money. And so a lot of this money has actually come from just taxpayer money. So that's a real question. Will they be able to come up with the kind of money to make this a true partnership, or will it mostly be just taxpayer money?
And as you suggest, the money they might raise would come from regional businesses. And then if you think that through, then that has gets, right? Where the business is, we would attract more business. But up in Bertie County, for instance, not so much. There's not as much there to fundraise. And if there's a regional preference in terms of this committee, that could be a problem. So that's one of the things they're weighing in all this. Now, there's been time to think about this. There have been other states that have tried. Is this law, this change, going to take any of those lessons into account?
Well, the backers of this law, the McCrory administration and the legislature, tried to take it to effect. They put in some safeguards. So they put some limits on some of the money that could be paid to some of these executives and some of these other safeguards. The problem is that the law that was supposed to go through the legislature got hung up at the last minute over fracking. There was some fracking amendment. So the law that had all the safeguards did not actually pass. But the McCrory administration is saying, well, we're going to make that our policy, even though it's not in the law. So among other things, for example, the incentives, the money at hand is handed out to these companies to make them come to North Carolina or make them expand, will still be in the public sector. So it'll be the Commerce Department that hands out the money, the $100,000 or $1 million or whatever it is that come to North Carolina, as opposed to the private corporation. Now, the critics say the recommendations will still be coming from the private corporation, and which is headed by the governor, and will the Commerce Department would turn that down if it's coming from a corporation headed by the governor, who obviously heads the Commerce Department. So there's still some question whether there could be some double dealing there.
And will the private part of it be held to the same rules of transparency and accountability as a government agency would?
Well, the answer is no. I mean, the private corporation will not have the same transparency as the Department of Commerce will be. Now, they say that everything eventually will be made public, and all the grants will be made public, but much of the actual recruiting of business and everything will be done behind the scenes.
Now, we won't know how that happened. Now, the question is, so you mentioned Tennessee, you lose a plant to Tennessee. Do they have a partnership like this in effect?
I don't know what Tennessee has, to be honest, Frank.
So there's these questions about whether or not it's more effective. Some of the studies say that it hasn't been. Has it saved money? What's the promise of the McCrory administration? Will it save public money? Will it create more jobs? And are there goals? Are there measures?
Well, they haven't really said a measure, but what they're basically saying is that what's been going on right now is in North Carolina. Their argument is North Carolina is falling behind. They measure that through unemployment and the loss of the manufacturing base, and that's true. North Carolina does have a high unemployment rate and has been losing its manufacturing base, and so they have through several policies been trying to change that, and this public-private partnership is one part of it. Tax cuts for business is another part of it, right? And some of their lessening of regulations for businesses is a third part of it.
What about the question of whether we should be going after manufacturing jobs at all? Those tend to be race to the bottom kinds of jobs in global competition. Should we be looking toward more entrepreneurs? Is that any part of the overall package to improve the unemployment picture in the McCrory administration in addition to this public-private partnership?
They're very much in favor of going after manufacturing because, you know, it's a lot of the unemployment is in small town and rural North Carolina outside the major metropolitan areas. There are a lot of those unemployment are former textile workers and furniture workers and tobacco workers, and manufacturing jobs may not require PhDs, but those are jobs that fill the bill in a lot of those areas. And so I think they're very strongly going after those kinds of jobs.
Is there any sense of what this board, the private corporation, might look like? Do we know what companies have already sort of signed up or expressed an interest to be part of this recruiting effort?
Well, we don't, because it's still being formed. They're going to name the board probably in January. There's a new executive director that they're going to name probably by the end of the year. So it's all taking shape. We don't know who's going to be on the board yet and what business leaders. We don't know who the executive director is going to look like. It's all sort of pretty much hazy at the moment.
And does this go into effect with or without the safeguards? You said they were hung up. Do they have to be passed before this all can start?
No, the McCrory administration is going forward and they're going to essentially make them their policy as opposed to state law. And so the McCrory administration is saying we're just going to make these safeguards our policy.
Rob, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Sure.
Rob Christensen is a political reporter for The News and Observer. Coming up, a new book talks about an experiment in radical hospitality and community building. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.